Okay, once again, we want to continue looking at parts of speech. We look at conjunctions, which much like pronouns and prepositions, they're usually those words that we see so often, we kind of read over them, and really very, very important words that help us to keep things in their context and help us to notice details. There are basically three types of conjunctions, and we find all three types in the Word of God. King James Version. Conjunctions are connecting words, linking words. That's their job. They connect. They link, which of course is imperative and context. I want to look at coordinating conjunctions. And again, they connect phrases, words. They connect words that are of the same part of speech, always. And there are basically seven coordinating conjunctions. The word "and" is a coordinating conjunction. The word "but," the word "or," the word "nor," N-O-R, "for," "so," "yet." Those are the seven coordinating conjunctions. And we're going to look just at some examples. If we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13, the word "and." And again, these connect words that are of the same part of speech. Really, they make them equal. They put them on equal footing. In Acts 13, verse 43, "Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes," okay, there's "and," connecting Jews, general Jewish people, and religious proselytes, connecting two nouns, Jews, religious proselytes, "followed Paul and Barnabas." Again, connecting two nouns, Paul and Barnabas, connecting two of the same parts of speech. Now again, it puts them on equal footing. These Jews and religious proselytes are on equal footing. Jews and religious proselytes. And we see here Paul and Barnabas also are on equal footing. Then notice in verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas," there again connecting the two people, connecting the two nouns, Paul, Barnabas. Again, connecting two of the same parts of speech. Again, making them equal in this situation. "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold," something they did, that's a verb, "and said," there's that conjunction "and" again, connecting "waxed" with "said," connecting two verbs. So they connect two nouns, they connect two verbs. They wax bold and said. Then notice in Acts chapter 15, verse 9, Acts 15, verse 9. And put no difference between us and them. Now, you should immediately ask, who's the us, who's the them? And you read back, of course, and you find out. But we see here us, and then you have the conjunction and them. Us and them. Us, them are pronouns, and is connecting the two pronouns. And again, anytime we see pronouns, we ought to look back and see who the pronouns are. There's a lot of false doctrine simply because when people read the epistles, for the most part, when they read the epistles, they look at that word us, or they look at that word we, pronouns, and they have no idea who the us and who the we are. And if they go back to the first couple verses of the book, they find out. And it needs to be took in the context of who he's writing to. So anytime we see those pronouns, we need to find out who's being talked about. But here it's us and them. And again, they're put on equal footing. Then notice in Revelation chapter 18, still looking at the conjunction and. And we, of course, could spend the rest of our lives looking at the word and through the scriptures. But in Revelation 18, verse 12, and it also goes down into verse 13, but we'll just read verse 12. The merchandise of gold, silver, and precious stones, and of pearls, and again, you can just read through there, and you see and. Putting them all on equal footing, connecting, linking them all together, and it continues through verse 13. Then another coordinating conjunction is the word but, which again is one of my favorites. There's so many valuable lessons to learn from that word but. Every time we see that word, we need to recognize it. We need to stop and consider what is being said. Again, the word but is used to contrast two of the same parts of speech. It may contrast two nouns, it may contrast two verbs, two adjectives, whatever, but it contrasts two of the same parts of speech, just like and connects two of the same parts of speech. Notice in Matthew chapter 3, so we see the word and really puts two on equal footing. The word but draws a contrast, so it serves, has a different purpose. In Matthew 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist speaking says, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Now, if that conjunction and was there, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, and he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Or we'll just stop there. He that cometh after me. That would put them on equal footing. But that's not what is used. It is, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he. Again, the word but is drawing a contrast between two of the same parts of speech. It's drawing a contrast between two pronouns, I, John the Baptist, he, Christ. There's a contrast. You cannot put John the Baptist and Christ on equal footing. Now, if the word and was there, then that's what it would be. But it's the word but. There's a contrast. And what a contrast it is. And again, there's valuable lessons in the Word of God, and we can learn much doctrinally by observing contrasts. Contrasts help to make clear. So he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, Christ, that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So there's a contrast in the person. There's also a contrast in what they're doing. Baptizing unto repentance, baptizing with the Holy Ghost. Then notice in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 15. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but, there's a contrast, but on a candlestick. Again, it contrasts two parts, two of the same parts of speech, bushel and candlestick. It's contrasting two nouns. There's quite a contrast between a bushel and a candlestick. He's not putting these on equal footing here. He's drawing a contrast between hiding the light under a bushel, putting it, of course, on a candlestick. Then, of course, we have the word or. Notice in Ephesians chapter 3. And or, of course, serves to link two alternatives. Again, conjunctions are always linking words. They may link contrast, but we see here it links two alternatives of the same type of speech. Notice in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Or is drawing alternatives. We can ask, we can think. And whatever you do, whether you ask or whatever you think, he's able to do abundantly above all that you ask or think. So there's a contrast with alternatives. Two-part contrasting two of the same parts of speech, two verbs, ask, think. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. Notice we'll read the whole verse. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, again, there's a conjunction and. Expectation and hope, same footing, really meaning the same thing. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but there's another conjunction showing a contrast, but that with all boldness. The contrast is between ashamed and boldness. They're not on equal footing, they're contrasted. As always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life, and then the conjunction we want to notice is that word or by death. Alternatives, life or death. In this case, it does not. The desire is that Christ would be magnified in my body. The alternatives are life or death, doesn't matter. That Christ is to be magnified whether we're living or whether we're dying. Christ, is that ought to be our desire. Then, of course, you have the word nor. In Ephesians chapter 5, and nor, of course, links two negatives. We have two negative thoughts and they're linked together. Ephesians 5, verse 4. neither filthiness, nor foolish talking. Again, it's linking two same parts of speech, but it's also putting them on equal footing. But it's two negatives. Filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. All these things are in the same category. Filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather, and then we see again another conjunction, but rather than filthiness and foolish talking and jesting, but the giving of thanks. So we see there's several conjunctions in any given verse. We see one after another. Then, of course, you have the word for. The word for. Connecting words stating a reason. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, this of course is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. For this states the blessing. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, the word for is very important all through the Word of God. It states a reason, gives us details of reason. Why did someone do that? Why did God do that? The word for usually explains why. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it continues on, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, and on it goes. But we have that word for. Then we have in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, we have the word so, which of course is used to state a reason, used to state a purpose or a result, again, between two of the same parts of speech. Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so. There it is, so. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. The aim or the purpose is that we walk in newness of life. What it is connected to is that Christ was raised from the dead. And even as Christ was raised from the dead, even so, we should walk in newness of life. That is, the resurrection of Christ gives us the aim, gives us the purpose, gives us the intent of walking in newness of life. We have to have a reason for doing something. And here that word so, even so, gives us the reason we are to walk in newness of life. We're not to walk in newness of life because that's the way we were raised. We're not to walk in newness of life because that's what so-and-so told us to do. We're to walk in newness of life because of Christ. And again, the word so is so important. It gives us the aim, the reason for. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, so the thought there is being put in trust with the gospel. Even so, we speak. Paul is saying the reason we preach the gospel, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. The reason we preach the gospel in the way that we do, that word so explains why. And that is because we've been put in trust with the gospel. So just that two-letter word, for God so loved the world. Very important word. Matthew chapter 6, we see the word yet, used to link time, carries the meaning of at the same time, can carry the meaning of in spite of. But in Matthew chapter 6, notice verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for, conjunction, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet, that is, at the same time, even though they do not do these things, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Now, if it just read, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, your heavenly Father feedeth them. It can read that way, and it can make sense. But the very word yet adds emphasis. It emphasizes. It emphasizes that God feeds them in spite of what the birds, in this case, do not do. Yet, your heavenly Father feedeth them. So, just that little word gives emphasis. He's emphasizing the fact that God takes care of them. And again, in reading or in listening to somebody, you need to pay attention to emphasis. What are they emphasizing? Again, when we were in school, sometimes we would pay attention. And we knew if a teacher emphasized something, it was probably going to be on a test. So it was important to pay attention to what is being emphasized. That's so important in the Scriptures. In Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's a grim picture. Yet, now hath he reconciled. Again, you can take away the word yet and just read, now hath he reconciled. Still makes sense, but the word yet places emphasis. Yet, now hath he reconciled. That is, in spite of what you were, God has done this. It places emphasis upon what God has done. It places emphasis. It makes what God has done to be amazing and to be something of wonder. Yet. So when we see that word yet, something's being emphasized. Notice in Colossians 2 verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit. Absent in the flesh. Present in spirit. Yet, again, it's being emphasized that he was present. Then we come to correlative conjunctions, which are used in pairs to connect, again, related words, related parts of speech. We'll look at them next week. Such words as either or, neither nor. We see these throughout the Word of God. And again, it's conjunctions that are used in pairs. Let's look to the Word of God, Word of Prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, we pray that as we worship you today, that you'd help us. Pray for those that may still be on the way here, that you would watch over them. We do pray for the sick today, that you would help them, that you would raise them up. Lord, that you would just be with us today, that you would meet with us in a special way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.